It's great to have you here at the start of a brand new week of God Is. And let me remind you that we are discussing the righteousness and the justice of God. God is righteous and God is just. And these attributes of God go together, as we learned, because in the biblical Hebrew, the original language of the Old Testament, and the biblical Greek, the original language of the New Testament, there is not the distinction we have in English between the words right and just, or righteousness and justice. In the Bible, these are the same words. Righteousness and justice are inseparable. They cannot be separated. And so God intends for us to learn about his righteousness in light of his justice, and his justice in light of his righteousness. And that is the righteousness we read about in our main passage, Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. Let me keep that front and center on our minds and hearts again on a Monday. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. We keep coming back to this again and again in our discussion. Now, concerning the justice of God, I've said a lot. And specifically this week, we come to a valuable question that many of us ask at one point or another in our lives here on planet Earth. And the question is this: if God is just, then why do his people, that is, Christians, suffer? If God is just, then why do his people suffer? We believe that God loves us, and if he loves us, then why do we experience suffering of various kinds? Perhaps you have faith in Jesus Christ and you are suffering today. Why? I started to wrestle with this question last week, and before we proceed today, I just want to remind you of the most important aspects of what I shared with you from the Bible. First, I defined suffering. When I talk about suffering, I mean afflictions such that our lives are radically rocked by pain. Let me say that again. When I talk about suffering, I mean afflictions such that my life and your life is radically rocked by pain. I'm talking about sincere and serious suffering. And I gave you a few examples. Persecution. That is, I am attacked for my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This could be physical, imprisonment, death. But in our country, it is more likely rejection, being ashamed, singled out, ignored, or in the marketplace told that we cannot share our faith with others. In the context of the family, our belief in Christ is treated with disdain. Another example is some form of physical ailment that really impairs the body or mind or both. You may think of cancer, but of course there are a multitude of diseases and afflictions. And a third example of the kind of suffering that I have in mind is suffering in the context of human relationships. Maybe you are in an abusive relationship. Maybe you are being taken advantage of, and or someone that you dearly loved is gone. You are grieving. All of this certainly qualifies as suffering, and this is what I mean when I use the word suffering in this context. Now, of course, be careful that you do not box me into only these three examples. There are others. But I want to emphasize that I am talking about a kind of suffering that is sincere, not simple inconveniences or the common struggles of everyday life. Second, I emphasized last week that the Christian life is a life of suffering. If you follow Christ, expect to suffer. And I gave you Jesus Christ and the Apostle Paul as prime examples. So, by way of review and introduction, when I talk about suffering, I mean affliction such that our lives are radically rocked by pain. And I believe that all Christians suffer. The Christian life is a life of suffering. But the question remains, if God is just, then why do I, as a Christian, suffer? First, God is just, and the Christian suffers because suffering makes us more like Christ. You might want to write this down, so I will say it again. God is just, and the Christian suffers because suffering makes us more like Christ. And wouldn't you agree this is the whole point of being Christian? To become more like Christ. Christ-likeness. This is the goal, the purpose, the singular intention of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. In John's Gospel in chapter 13, Jesus does something stunning. He washes the feet of his disciples. And those were some dirty and dusty feet, given the terrain of the places that they walked. Jesus takes the job of the lowest slave in that culture, and John chapter 13, verses 4 through 5 says, Jesus got up from supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, he girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. The disciples never expected this. And if you will read all of John chapter 13, you will read about their various reactions. But listen to what Jesus tells the disciples after the foot washing down in verse 15. This is John chapter 13 and verse 15. "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." I love this. Jesus gave them the example. Why? So that they would do as he did. Jesus did it, we do it. Be like Christ. That's how we can summarize what it means to be Christian, Christ-likeness. Listen to Jesus again. "For I gave you an example that you also should do as I did to you." Christ-likeness is written about repeatedly in the Bible, but let me be disciplined and take us into a few texts that integrate being like Christ with suffering. It's stunning how often when the Bible writes about being Christ-like, it immediately mentions suffering. And let's stay in the Gospel of John and go to John chapter 21. Now, beginning in John chapter 21 and verse 15, Jesus has appeared to his apostles in his post-resurrection body. And here Jesus reconciles the apostle Peter to himself. And Peter requires that reconciliation because he has denied that he even knew the Lord three times. You can read about those denials in John chapter 18. And you can read about Jesus' prediction of those denials in Matthew 26, verse 34. In fact, let me just read that for you. Jesus says to Peter, "Truly I say to you, this very night, before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." That's Matthew chapter 26, verse 34. Sure enough, stunningly, Peter gives the three denials. And yet, Jesus is merciful and gracious and forgiving, and he makes certain that Peter is completely reconciled to himself in John 21 and verses 15 and following. But what I want you to see is in verse 18. So I will read now from John chapter 21 and verse 18. Jesus says this to Peter, "Truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, you used to gird yourself and walk wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you where you do not wish to go." Now, what does Jesus mean by this? Jesus is giving a prophecy about how Peter is going to die. Jesus tells Peter, "You're going to be martyred for me." This is God's will for the apostle Peter. Peter will die because of his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse 19 makes this abundantly clear. Remember, if you are reading along in the Bible and there is something that is not clear, just keep on reading. And so let me now read John chapter 21 and verse 19. For now, just the first part of verse 19. "Now this Jesus said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God." Peter is going to suffer tremendously in death. And history teaches us that Peter did suffer martyrdom under the Roman Emperor Nero between 67 and 68 AD. Peter was crucified upside down. And do you know why? Peter was crucified upside down because he refused to be crucified as Jesus was crucified. Peter did not think he was worthy to die like his master Jesus. It's incredible how humbled Peter had become. You see, what Jesus' first disciples teach all of us who are disciples today is that Jesus humbles us. Our lives are all about Jesus and not about ourselves. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Not me, me, me. Dear Christian, please be humbled in the presence of our King Jesus. Now that's true. But let me get us back to our original purpose for coming to John 21. Let me reread John 21, and now all of verse 19. "Now this Jesus said, signifying by what kind of death he would glorify God. And when Jesus had spoken this, Jesus said to Peter, follow me." There it is. This is what I want you to see. Please highlight this verse in your copy of the Bible and double highlight the words, follow me. Notice how Jesus predicts that Peter will suffer, and not just any kind of suffering, but suffering unto death. And it turned out death by torture, death by crucifixion, upside down. And then Jesus follows that prophecy with these two powerful words, "Follow me." God is just, and the Christian suffers, because suffering makes us more like Christ. So, you want to follow Jesus, do you? Then be prepared to suffer. God being just in no way eliminates our suffering. The justice of God is no guarantee for the absence of suffering in the life of the believer. In fact, suffering in the life of the believer is what is guaranteed. We see this in the Apostle Peter's life and death. And Peter tells us this himself. What I'm going to do now is read to you Peter's words, and then I'm going to come back to this text and continue my teaching on this tomorrow. So I just have time to read this for you, but I'll say more about it tomorrow, so please be back with me then. Listen closely to the testimony of Peter in 1 Peter 4, verses 14 through 16. This is 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. If you are reviled for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. Make sure that none of you suffers as a murderer, or thief, or evildoer, or a troublesome meddler. But if anyone suffers as a Christian, he is not to be ashamed, but is to glorify God in this name. That's 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Look it up on your own this evening and give it a read. Wow, Peter says if anyone suffers as a Christian, that person is to glorify God. He says if you suffer as a Christian, you are a blessed person. And I will have much more to say about this tomorrow, so why not invite a friend to join you, and then come back here tomorrow and join all of us, for God is...